When I first began working with this congregation in the fall of 1993, while we were still in Montgomery at Highland Gardens, one of the first conclusions I reached about this congregation was that it was very obvious that a lot of good teaching had been done on the subject of elders and church leadership, and a lot of people had taken that teaching to heart. Because that eldership was then, and still is now, one of the best that I have ever been around. Only one of our present elders remains from that group from back in 1993. But it's obvious to me, and I believe it is to you too, that that same standard continues to be applied, and that is, of course, the standard of God's Word. Brother James Glenn, Brother Jimmy Green, and Brother Mark Russell are true servants of the Lord, and they lead this church very well, and we are very thankful for them and for what they do. I especially appreciate the report that Brother Jimmy has given us this morning. I'm just astounded at how well he did with the names of those Mexican preachers. I've been calling those guys' names for 20 years and always still mess them up, and I don't think he missed a beat. That shows, in a way, how interested our elders are in every aspect of our work. In light of what he has told us today, I thought this would be a good time for a short lesson on the eldership. And I'm going to base my comments on that passage that Brother Stephen Morgan read to us at the beginning of our worship hour just a little bit ago in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. If you'll join me there in your Bibles, we'll look at those words again and notice just two or three brief points. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the unfading crown of glory. You'll notice, first of all, Peter says, shepherd the flock that is among you. One of the words that the New Testament uses to describe the work of elders is the word shepherd, the verb shepherd. And thus we refer to our elders sometimes as shepherds, using the noun, the name, shepherds. Indeed, they are shepherds, and in fact, if you've ever studied the work of the shepherd physically, as he watches over a flock of sheep, you may be astounded to see some of the parallels that are so true, and thus it's no wonder that God's Word uses that terminology to describe these men as they shepherd the flock. Other translations, King James Version says, feed the flock which is among you. The American Standard Version says, tend the flock. All of those are saying the same thing. There is no question the instruction is in the terms of a shepherd's responsibility to the sheep that he is charged with looking after and seeing over. About 40 years ago, a man by the name of Philip Keller wrote a book entitled A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I understand that he really was a shepherd and had had quite a bit of experience in that kind of work, literally speaking. And in writing that book, he gave some very interesting observations, and especially as he applied the literal principles of shepherding to Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd." But there are also some very interesting characteristics of the sheep themselves that are brought out in his little book, and in a certain chapter that he entitled, "He Maketh Me to Lie Down in Green Pastures." He says that there are four things that must always be true of the sheep before they will peacefully lie down and rest. I think there are some very strong parallels between those four conditions that must exist among the sheep, and the same kind of conditions that must exist among God's people, particularly in a congregation or a flock in the local sense, such as this. Mr. Keller says, first of all, in order to rest properly and to be healthy, the sheep must be free from all fear. I would suggest to you that one of the purposes that the elders serve in overseeing and shepherding a congregation like this is that they give us a measured amount of freedom from fear. It is a fact, you see, that people in churches where the elders lead prudently, lovingly, and firmly, the people feel more secure. They feel more confident in their salvation. They realize that they can spend their efforts trying to improve and grow and be better because there are certain things that the elders are looking out for. There are certain things that the elders are on guard against. The absence of fear comes in confidently knowing that the elders are watching for my soul. And in knowing the fact that if my soul becomes in jeopardy, if the elders realize that condition, then they'll be coming to me and they'll say something like, "We love you and we're concerned for you and we want to help you find your way back." That's how our elders can give us a measure of peacefulness and absence of fear. Mr. Keller goes on and he says, in order for the sheep to be content and to relax and rest, they need to be free from any kind of friction among themselves. In any congregation, shepherds must be involved in the work of creating and maintaining a peaceful atmosphere among the congregation so that we may dwell with one another in unity and make progress in the Lord's work rather than being bogged down and distracted by difficulties and problems among ourselves. You might well imagine that a great measure of wisdom on the part of our shepherds is essential in being able to carry out that aspect of their work. Number three, Mr. Keller says that if sheep are tormented with flies or parasites, they will not lie down and they will have no rest at all. Thus, they need to be free from pests. The work of Satan is the work of trying to divert faithful Christians away from faithfulness. And Satan uses every imaginable device, every kind of pest, every kind of possible distraction, interruption, or whatever it may be that he can use. He will try to torment God's people so that we have no peace, no rest. He uses all manner of people to do his work. And our shepherds are under the strong responsibility to protect us from those kind of problems. Number four, Mr. Keller said that sheep, in order to rest, must be free from hunger. They will not lie down and rest if they feel the need to search for food. Our shepherds have the final say in how we as God's sheep are fed. Our shepherds are responsible for the spiritual food that we get here at Redland Road Church of Christ. I believe I can truthfully say that they consider that to be one of their greatest responsibilities. But going on in the text, we come next to the latter part of verse 2, and Peter says, "Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight." The word oversight here means watching over and taking care of. It means looking over what is done and making sure that it's done in the right way. It means watching out for and warding off that which is not good, not helpful, or might be detrimental. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the writer says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." That passage and others like it places our elders, our shepherds, in a position of answering for several things. For example, they are in a position of answering for our conduct. That our conduct and our practice, especially as a group of God's people, is correct and is within the guidelines of the Scriptures. No other standard but the Word of God. They are answerable for the purity and accuracy of teaching that comes from this pulpit, that comes from every classroom. Our elders are answerable and responsible for that. Indeed, they are in fact responsible and answerable for the faithfulness of every member in the Lord's service. Now that's not to say that the responsibility is taken off of us individually, but it's a dual responsibility. When I as an individual am not upholding my responsibility, one of the things that I believe God expects our shepherds to do is to step in, to speak with me about that very fact, to offer their loving care and concern in a spirit of eagerness to help. For it says, they are watching over our souls. Peter gives this warning next in verse 3. He said, not domineering, but being examples to the flock. Now, Peter is not saying that the elders are not to be in control of the congregation. But what he is saying is that their control is not to be driven by a craving for power or for a love or sense of satisfaction of pushing people around. Not domineering. Not as taskmasters, but as shepherds. Leading, and that leading by example. The shepherd, you see, goes before the flock, and he leads the sheep wherever they go. He's not a cowboy on a horse who runs along behind the sheep, yelling and screaming and trying to drive them in certain directions. Tremendous amount of difference. elders or shepherds who lead. One of the greatest ways that they lead is by example. They are to be examples of Christian character, as is illustrated by the divinely appointed qualifications that are recorded there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. But our elders are also to be examples of daily conduct and behavior. They are to live in such a way that we should follow in their steps, that we should imitate their lives, follow their example. An elder should be an example of where the church fits into my schedule, even in my daily life. Because you see, elders are normal people. They have families. Many of them have jobs and employment. Many of them have businesses. Many of them have all kinds of things, daily normal things that you and I have to deal with. And they set an example for where the church should fit into the schedule. They are, of course, to be an example in knowledge. It is a wonderful thing when we see shepherds of the Lord's flock grow in their knowledge and develop with God's help the wisdom that is so important in carrying out their work. But the example that an elder sets with his knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures is an example that you and I need to be following. They set an example of caring concern for every single member. And if we've perhaps gotten the impression that it's only the elders who are to be concerned with every member of our family here, then we've drawn an incorrect conclusion. Because their concern, while it is to be utmost, is an example that you and I should follow. And then in verse 4, Peter makes reference to the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus referred to himself in John 10, verse 11, as the good shepherd. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20, calls him the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 2:25, Peter refers to him as the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And now here in chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse 4, he calls Jesus the chief shepherd. I believe there can be no other understanding of the context of this passage than to realize the spiritual kinship between elders in the Lord's church and the chief shepherd. A kinship that is by virtue of the duty and the responsibility that our elders have as shepherds of the flock that is among them. And of course, Peter makes reference to that unfading crown of glory. What a reward that will be. Whatever honor and appreciation we can give them here is good, and we need to give them the honor and the appreciation for the work that they do. But the true reward is when the chief shepherd shall appear. I believe I speak on behalf of the congregation when I say that we love our elders and appreciate them very much. And I hope I speak for all of us in saying that I want to do everything that is humanly possible to allow them to answer confidently about my soul. For that is their task. That is their job as they shepherd this flock. If you're not a child of God this morning, if you believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized, your sins will be washed away. You'll become a new creature, child of God. If perhaps you've already done that, but you've become unfaithful, rededicate yourself to His service, acknowledge your waywardness, and express your desire to be forgiven, to be restored, to go forward from this time on. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.